Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
Nolan Wells, the phone. What's on it? Where are the messages that were supposedly deleted, or were they not? Were they just never there to begin with because his phone was on the boat? What's happening with the phone? What is the data that is there that will reveal so much about it? You would think the people who were closest to Nolan, his family, his mother, his father, they would be at the forefront of getting that phone examined. And the data, or lack thereof, whatever the data is, revealed so the truth can come out. And so the accusations that were made early on, that his data was wiped, it was erased, that they'd be coming forward with their information of, see, it was erased, it was destroyed. Oh, wait, you don't have that. That was all conjecture. That was all opinion. That was all rage being fueled by an attorney that showed up to make a buck. Where is the phone today? What data has been extracted from it? Well, it's still with the family of Nolan Wells. And no data has been extracted, at least publicly. Or what that data is that has been revealed by the independent investigation maybe doesn't match up with the chronology or with the vibrato, with the rage, with the accusations, with the conjecture, with the hate, with the fuel that it was once originally delivered with. Maybe the two don't match up, and maybe that's why we haven't seen anything about that phone. Because this device is going to have so much information that's going to reveal all of these friends being this horrific boat of Klansmen, and they're not, killing their friend and deleting messages. Oh, wait, we don't have any of that yet. Well, what the hell's the holdup? Nolan Wells' phone made it back from Horn Island. Nolan did, and his friends brought the phone to shore when they returned on July 4th, and his mother tracked it to a friend's house. She picked it up, opened it, and says she found his Snapchat accounts with nothing on them. Her son had two Snapchat accounts, and according to his mother, he was on social media constantly. Okay, I get that. She believes somebody tampered with it because there was nothing there. That's a conclusion that she jumped to. He's normally always on there. Why is there nothing there? He's missing. We don't know. Yeah, it's somewhat reasonable until you start looking at where he was and what people do with their phones when they're there. They tend to leave them on boats. They don't tend to use them in areas that have zero service where they can't even connect to Snapchat. And they don't want to lose their $1,000 some devices in the ocean. That might be why there's nothing there. Not nefarious, as in playing to the narrative of race baiting. Not as exciting either. Doesn't get the rage and everybody woo about what happened. but it does answer the question. And look, I'm not here to tell you I know, because I don't. I don't have the phone. I don't have access to the data on the phone. There's one group of people that do, and that's the family of Nolan Wells. Why in 6 weeks, with the extended power of Ben Crump and all of the folks who've been rallying around and GoFundMes and hundreds of thousands of dollars that have poured in that could easily have been used to get the phone data independently revealed, why that hasn't happened, I don't know. Or has it happened just behind the scenes and that data, again, doesn't quite support a narrative that was originally pitched and nobody wants to look stupid. As of now, from what we know, the phone has not been forensically examined, not by the DA's office, not by the FBI, and not by the family's own experts, allegedly. On July 15th, Nolan's parents sat down with Jackson County District Attorney Angel Myers McGrath and agreed to a joint forensic examination. The plan was specific. The digital forensic lab at Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College would handle it. Both sides would bring their own experts. The FBI could participate. Nobody set a date. The family's legal team contacted the DA's office on July 25th, and they were traveling abroad. I don't know. Your son just died, and now it's time to go on a trip abroad? I'm not here to judge a family trying to heal, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe going on a trip, and let's take a breath here and recenter ourselves on the world that we have going forward now that our son has tragically left us. I don't know. But they apparently were traveling and promised to reconnect when they returned. It's like, let me get back to you after vacation. Then we'll reconvene. I know. That whole element to this stuff is just like, we're not talking about like the lunch menu. Let me get back to you what we're going to have for on the lunch menu next month as soon as I get back from vacation. We're talking about the single key piece of evidence that may reveal what happened to your dead son. 6 months in, it's still not been examined. And I don't know, I've never seen a case like this where the key piece of evidence for what one group is saying is a suspicious death, not turning it over so it can actually be looked at, or getting your own damn team to do it. You have the funds. There's just, I don't. No phone examination as of now. Meanwhile, the investigation moved forward without the phone. The state medical examiner completed the autopsy and sent the results to the DA. That's in. We don't know the results because it's going to a grand jury first. The family's independent pathologist, Dr. Roger Mitchell, returned the finding of undetermined. We already heard about that. He couldn't rule out non-accidental factors, but the remains weren't in a suitable condition for a complete forensic examination. The grand jury referral was confirmed. The reward fund climbed to $175,000. Now, Ben Crump announced the autopsy results at the NAACP National Convention in Chicago, one never to miss an opportunity to go in front of a camera and grandstand. The Congressional Black Caucus called for a DOJ review of the death. It's kind of hard to do a full, thorough review when you're holding the key piece of evidence. How it hasn't just been confiscated yet, I don't know. The family's legal team requested records from Snapchat and other social media platforms, all that happens while the phone sat untouched. And here's what else happened. The family made public claims on national stages that their son's data had been tampered with, that messages were missing, that the friends who came home from Horn Island without Nolan were involved in something they weren't admitting. Those claims spread across social media. They generated death threats against three named friends, Warren Hudson, Jax Pitalo, and Morgan Seymour. According to their attorney, some have been forced to leave school or their homes. How nice. How nice of you to incite that sort of vitriol and hate against the very good friends of your son. Excuse me while I start to have less sympathy. Hudson, Pitalo, and Seymour say they lost last saw Nolan alive on the afternoon of July 4th. They say he chose to stay on the island after meeting an unknown woman. They say he kept his phone on the boat, which is how it came back to the mainland without him. The friends have hired Tyler Cox as their attorney and Edward Andrew Palatsky, a defamation lawyer, to pursue claims against people spreading accusations online. Their lives, in their attorney's words, are upended. The evidence that could confirm or destroy every one of those accusations is the phone. And the family has it. They've not submitted it for examination. A forensic phone extraction doesn't require a joint agreement with a DA. It doesn't require a community college lab or the FBI. It requires a qualified forensic examiner and the device. Ben Crump's firm has the resources to hire one. The family's own legal team has forensic experts on retainer. They said so themselves in their August 17th letter to the DA. Where they describe those experts as on standby, they could have imaged that phone on July 6th, the day after they got it, and had results before the July 15th meeting. They didn't do that. A forensic extraction of a smartphone can recover deleted text messages, app activity logs, GPS and cell tower location data, and timestamps showing when files were created, modified, or erased. Even data a user deletes can be pulled from the device's storage. If the extraction happens before the phone overwrites those sectors, the longer the delay, the more data gets overwritten. 6 weeks is a long time for a phone to sit without a forensic image. Instead of extracting that data, the family coordinated the phone's examination on the DA's participation, the DA's protocol, and the DA's schedule. Then they went to conventions. In early August, Tyler Cox went on Dan Abrams' Sirius XM radio show and said the family hadn't cooperated with law enforcement at all. He said he'd bet his reputation the phone hadn't been turned over. The family's attorney, Ahmad R. Smith, pushed back on correspondence with the DA and called that characterization false. Neither side disputes this. The phone has not been examined. While the lawyers fought over whose fault that was, three young men lived under death threats based on claims the phone could verify or destroy in a single extraction. And the DA made it worse. On August 12th at 12:51 p.m. Eastern Time, her office sent the family a letter. Deliver the phone to her office by 9 a.m. on August 14th. 44 hours. Not to the community college lab they'd agreed on, to her office. Maybe she's getting a little frustrated that nothing has been done yet. Nolan's parents were in Atlanta at the time at the National Association of Black Journalists convention. They were on stage with Crump and Al Sharpton. Oh, so they were too busy grandstanding for Al Sharpton and Crump. God, this family has been taken advantage of. What's doing more for the investigation into the death of your son? Going on stage and getting these people, a bunch of rabid animals, very excited? Or actually investigating the murder, if it was a murder, or the death, or the accidental death, or whatever happened to your son, which we don't know the answer to, and you're not going to find it on a fucking stage at the National Association of Black Journalists convention. Hey, right behind the curtain, there's the answer. Oh my gosh. No, that's not how that works. They weren't in Mississippi and weren't scheduled to return before the deadline. The forensic protocol the parties agreed they needed had been never really been drafted. Chain of custody, scope, preservation of extracted data, access to results, return of the device. Neither side has a guideline as to what's going on. It's like, well, we'll do this. Well, maybe we'll figure it out. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll argue about it forever and never actually get anywhere. What is going on? You people are the living ones. Nolan's the dead one. He's relying on the living to do their effing jobs and get to an answer to explain what the hell happened. And if he's looking on from the other side and every piece of evidence that points to him having a tight group of friends that loved him and he loved them, that are now being persecuted and having death threats thrown at them because of the grandstanding and the bullshit of Crump, I'm going to guess he might not be too happy with your mom and dad. I'm going to guess he might not be too happy with Crump and Al Sharpton and everybody making his friends into this villainous group of evildoers who very likely, according to all the evidence we've seen so far, did nothing wrong. Now, look, if it gets there and there's some evidence that points to it, then let's fucking see it. Let's go there. If it's there, yes. Prosecution to the fullest extent of the law. But Snapchat not having any data on it in an afternoon where most people say they leave their phones away on a boat because there's no service and they don't want to lose them does not equate to Nolan's best friends secretly being Klan members that wanted to kill their only black friend on the 4th of July at the Party Cove, where everybody's having a great time and there's zero evidence of any sort of kerfuffle between Nolan and any other human being. I don't know. I would give a shit about the friends of my child, of my dead child. I would be rather concerned that they're being accused of shit without any sort of actual evidence on the table. Call me crazy. Call me empathetic. Call me thinking beyond just my immediate circle and what's going to make me the most money at this time and what's going to make Crump more visible. Whose side are you on? The promotion team of Crump or getting to the answer of what happened to your dead son? I think it's a question that might keep me up at night. The family's legal team called a 48-hour deadline not a good faith path to answers. I call not doing anything with a phone for 6 months not a good faith path to answers. While these kids are being tormented by the internet and crazy people that you sicked on them. I get anger. I get vitriol. I get trying to figure out what happened. I get even being suspicious. It's fucking Mississippi. I get wanting to make sure this is done right, but you also need to be part of doing it right. You can't just sit back and go, everybody else is doing it wrong. We're going to a convention. They're all racist. They hate my son, but we're going to do nothing that is needed of us to further the investigation. And then we're going to blame you and say, you're being unreasonable to ask for the key piece of evidence that we've been holding on to for 6 months. And you haven't broken our door down yet to get. On August 17th, Smith wrote back and said, pick any day between August 18th and 21st. Give us 12 hours notice. Our experts are on standby. The same letter asked the DA to provide Dr. Mitchell with materials he needed to complete his independent autopsy review. The state autopsy review results have not been made public. Mitchell's findings remain undetermined, in part because the team hasn't received everything they've asked for. The letter positions the family as cooperative and the DA as the obstacle, but it doesn't answer the question at the center of the case. If the family's forensic experts are on standby in August, why weren't they on the phones, onto the phone's data in July? Again, it just, the statements do not match the actions here. DA McLarth released a public statement on August 19th. She said she doesn't have the freedom to share information publicly that private individuals do. She said public commentary doesn't make the speaker transparent and that things said in public aren't necessarily true. Interesting choice of words. She said she can't publicly adopt a narrative and choose one fact over another. She said filing the information void would only take pressure off herself and that Nolan deserves better than that. She didn't name who she was talking about. Interesting choice of words. She has subpoena power. She could have compelled the phone the day after July 15th. She didn't send a letter for a month. And when she did, she gave the family another state 48 hours to comply with terms nobody had agreed to. The person with the most authority in the case has been asking for patience while making the weakest possible demand for the evidence that she needs. Why is that? I don't know. Playing really light, playing with kid gloves. Come on, guys, let's come along here. Let's get the evidence we need so we can go through this damn thing. Nobody wants to participate. Well, I guess we got to make some demands now. But the DA's failure doesn't explain the family's choice. If Christine Wansley is right, if that phone proves someone deleted her son's messages and covered up what happened on that island, then every day she held it was a day the evidence degraded. Digital data doesn't improve with age. A phone sitting without a proper chain of custody for 6 weeks is 6 weeks of potential challenges in a courtroom. Any defense attorney would make that argument. And maybe that's the point they're trying to make. Maybe they want that. Maybe Crump wants that. Maybe because he wants some sort of reasonable doubt over here in this court of public opinion, reasonable doubt that maybe, just maybe, those friends did have something to do with it, but we're going to have no way of actually proving it and no actual solid evidence that points in that direction. But hey, we already made the assertion publicly, so don't want to look bad. And enough of you will go along with it because we said it out loud, despite the facts. And if she's wrong every day she held it was a day three young men lived under death threats for something the evidence doesn't support. The friends have said it's common practice for people not to be on their phones on Horn Island. Cell service on the Barrier Island is limited to non-existent. An empty Snapchat account on Barrier Island might not be suspicious at all. The phone could settle that question in hours. That's the first thing I had on my mind when I heard about this case. There's no service. Snapchat relies on service. That's why there's nothing there. It took me 3 seconds. You can't stand on a national stage and tell the country someone tampered with your son's phone and then refuse to let anyone verify it. You can't demand accountability from the friends, the DA, and the state of Mississippi while you're holding the one object that could deliver it. The phone either backs up what the family has said publicly or it doesn't. Every single side in this case says they want the phone examined. The family says so. The DA says so. The friend's attorney says so. The phone still sits in Ocean Springs waiting for someone to actually look at it. Nolan Wells was 18 years old. He went to a July 4th party on the Barrier Island with friends and never came home. The people who are supposed to get him answers have spent 6 weeks sending each other letters about the one device that could provide them. Where is it? What happened? And why don't we know what the hell is on that phone? You tell me your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. I don't know what happened here. You don't either. All I can do is judge the character of the people by what they are doing right now in this case. And nobody seems to be interested in getting the factual answers, because everybody wanted to spout their conjecture before the facts came in. And now a lot of people are excited about the conjecture, and nobody wants to look stupid when the actual data and facts may prove that conjecture to be inaccurate. And again, I don't know which side that plays for. I'm on the side of finding the truth. I'm not on the side of stalling and bullshit excuses and grandstanding and becoming an overnight celebrity for Crump. That doesn't help the investigation into the death of Nolan Wells. You know what does? An actual investigation into the death of Nolan Wells. Call me crazy. Your thoughts in the comments. Links are in the description. We'll continue it there. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
According to their attorneys, Warren Hudson called Nolan Wells' mother at 11:07 p.m. on July 4th when Nolan hadn't come home from Horn Island. He called the Coast Guard 6 minutes later. He called Jax Patallo, went back to the island the next morning to search. Tristan Shepard, one of Nolan's black friends who was on the island that day, called Nolan his best friend. He said, "We would die for him." Bart Edmondson handed over his phone, his GPS, his boat, his 20-person witness list without a lawyer and without a warrant. That's what the friendship looked like before two men came from out of town and turned it into a circus. Asking about race in Mississippi is not just fair. It's necessary. Mississippi earned that scrutiny a long time ago and still lives it up to this day. And the question the family asks are the same questions anyone would ask when their child doesn't come home. But there is a difference between asking hard questions and aiming accusations at specific people who loved the kid you claim to be fighting for. Sharpton and Crump didn't just ask questions. They built a case. And then they let the internet deliver a verdict before evidence, before anything, really. Just, here's our premise, go! The first thing they did was erase the picture. Sharpton's framing from the July 10th press conference was one black man with three young white men, one black kid and three white kids. That's the line that put three cooperating teenagers in the crosshairs of a country that had already made up its mind. Here's what that line leaves out. Horn Island on July 4th had possibly up to thousands of people on it, at least hundreds. Multiple boats, multiple groups, families and college kids and locals who go every summer. Nolan went with a larger party, not a racial triad. Shepard and Javon Williams, both black friends of Nolan's, were allegedly on the island that day. Shepard has said publicly, this is not a race case. Williams said it wasn't like Nolan to separate from the group, but he didn't point the finger at the three white friends. One black kid and three white kids line erased every other person on that island, including the black friends who were there and also disagree with the racial motive and narrative. It took a group of friends who grew up together in Ocean Springs and turned them into a diagram. Nobody in that friend group, not the black friends and not the white friends, has described the relationship the way Sharpton and Crump describe it. Now, here's what they said and what the evidence actually showed when they said it. July 10th, the investigation was 6 days old. No autopsy results were back. The sheriff had told reporters no foul play was suspected. Sharpton stood in Harlem and said the case does not smell right. Crump called the drowning theory a contradiction and asked what teenager would leave their phone behind. Crump also cited a viral video he said showed Nolan yelling for his phone back. He said other young people on the island had identified the voice as Nolan. Shepard later told reporters the voice in the video was his, not Nolan's. It was a separate argument that had nothing to do with Nolan or the phone. Crump's own evidence that he said, see, look at this, was wrong. The correction came from a black friend who was actually there. The correction has never been publicly acknowledged by Crump's legal team. Of course it's not. July 14th, Sharpton gave a televised interview. He said one friend actually denied having the phone and keys. He said the phone's contents had been erased. Then he asked, were any of these guys racist? He said if the races were reversed, the friends would have been held in custody. On July 14th, no autopsy had come back. No evidence of foul play had been found. The friends had already cooperated with investigators. As that vitriol is being thrown out there, they're handing over their shit. What do you need? We want to figure out what happened to our friend. Edmondson has already handed over everything he had without a warrant, believe it or not. Huh. All these friends handing over everything they have. You know who hasn't handed over everything they have? The family of Nolan Wells. His actual phone, the devices, that could actually tell us something. You know who's withholding that evidence? It ain't the white friends. It's his actual family. It's Crump. It's the people that are supposedly fighting for the truth. Holding back the actual pieces of evidence that could get us there. Now, you got to ask yourself, why is that? Why are you, I mean, and I get it. I get not trusting Mississippi. I've already said that. We're this many weeks in. You can do scans, other ways of getting this information. But, I mean, the information is information. Data is data. Data doesn't care about narratives. It doesn't care about causes. It doesn't. Data is not racist. Data's data. It's black and white. It is what it is. And when data doesn't point in the way of a narrative that you've been pushing for quite a while, sometimes you don't want that data coming out. I don't know. Is that what's happening? Sharpton was asking whether teenagers who had cooperated from day one were racists before a single forensic result was in. July 20th, Nolan's funeral. Sharpton announced a reward of over $100,000 for information leading to an arrest and conviction. An arrest and conviction at a funeral before the official cause of death has actually been determined, before any crime has even been established. We're calling for an arrest and conviction of what? Of who? Because so far, the evidence doesn't point to this being a murder. Now, look, I'm all about if we get there, and if there's evidence that points to that, yes, arrest and conviction. Let's go. But to be throwing that sort of vitriol around before we're even really to that point, words matter. Words matter. And if we're truly in a state where we'd like to find the truth here, and live in a country where we're not baited into racist fights and hatred towards one another, that sort of language doesn't help. That's just red meat to the racists. Words matter. When you say them matter. There's a time and a place for everything. That reward proposes a murder and a murderer. Neither exist in the evidence. Sharpton put a bounty on a conviction the investigation hadn't produced and the autopsies have not yet supported. July 22nd, Crump announced the independent autopsy results at the NAACP National Convention. The finding, undetermined. The pathologist found no fractures, no lacerations, no deep tissue injuries. He noted red discolorations on the back of Nolan's head and called it inconclusive. The exam was limited because the body was not in suitable condition for competent forensic assessment in some areas. There had already been the first autopsy done. We're still waiting for those actual results, which will likely be presented to her grand jury. Crump framed the result as pointing towards foul play. The actual finding was that the pathologist could not determine what happened. Undetermined means the evidence did not support a conclusion in either direction. It does not support a crime. It doesn't support anything. It means we don't have the information we need to really go anywhere. Crump presented it as if it pointed in one direction. Then August 13th, Sharpton on stage in Atlanta with Crump, Congresswoman Lucy McBath, and Nolan's parents. He invoked Mississippi's history directly. He said, black boy goes out with three white kids come back. There's a blurred story on what happened. Then he addresses the friends' families. He says he didn't know their sons' names, so nobody could claim defamation. Then, I want them to sue me first. I want to depose your son. Oh, that's nice. He didn't know their names. He didn't have to. He kept saying three white friends, the three young white men, three white kids. The whole country knows who he meant. And then he says, I never accused anyone. This is the latest. Never accused anyone is the legal defense. The public record is the accusation. So is that the goal? I mean, is that the goal, Crump? Is that the goal, Sharpton? You want the white friends who lost their best friend to sue you because you're making what appears to be rather extreme accusations against these young men, having death threats thrown at them from the general public after they've eaten your rancid meat of racism. And these people are fearing for their lives. You know, I never did. I never said anything. I said it like this, not like. It seems a little disingenuous, but I get it. Your identity, your income, your sole existence relies on the worst in humanity taking place. And look, there's plenty of places and plenty of people to go after who are horrible racist assholes. Tons of them. There's no shortage of them. So why you've honed in here on these kids when the evidence doesn't really point in that direction doesn't make a lot of sense, other than you overstepped. You overstepped very fast. You overspoke very fast. You got a lot of people incited, and now it's like, oh, shit. What do you mean this evidence isn't backing up in the corner that I thought it was going to? What do you mean? Well, it kind of needs to. Well, let's just slowly... we haven't heard about Nolan Wells in a couple days. We haven't heard about the accusations. Is that what you're doing? Is that the goal? Just kind of slowly go off camera? People will forget everything? Stir the pot? Get everybody angry? Get everybody going after innocent human beings? People who loved Nolan, who didn't see race, who didn't see color, who just saw him as one of their brothers. Just stage left, right? No one will notice what you did. And maybe the news cycle will. We won't. We'll keep talking about it. Because, yes, you know what needs to be done here? The truth needs to come out. That's it. The truth. That's what we're trying to get to. Whatever that may be. And if it turns out that they've been hiding this horrible racist conspiracy for all this time now, and everybody's been able to keep their mouth shut, and somehow it's going to be a big bombshell, and all this is going to, then great, we will follow it that way. But I'll tell you what, that ain't what's happening so far. That ain't this case. And if it was, we'd go there. But it's not. Again, I mean, this is, it's like screaming fire in a crowded theater. What do you mean fire? There's fire on the movie screen over there. That's not what this is. On August 19th, would have been Nolan's 19th birthday, a virtual vigil, Sharpton said what the friends knew, when they knew it, and why they didn't hand over the phone immediately, all needs to be litigated. When one of the friends joined the call, Sharpton told him, if you have nothing to really be concerned about, then you should step forward. Well, guess what? Basically, everyone did. Everyone has already stepped forward. Why are you acting like they haven't? Not investigated, litigated. On the birthday of the kid whose cause of death is still unknown, let's litigate it. That's the pattern. Never actually said the friends killed Nolan Wells. I said the friends had the phone, the friends had the keys. One friend lied. The data was erased. These are the accusations. The friends were white and Nolan was black. Mississippi's history makes it suspicious. Then they step back and let the audience finish the sentence. Crump later said, "We're not trying to cast aspersions on anybody." I don't think you understand what that is then, if you're not trying to do that, because that's exactly what you're doing. That was after Hudson's father announced he intended to sue Crump for slander. We're not doing this. Really? Because it really appears you are. The aspersions had already been cast and the threats had already been made. By the time Crump walked it back, the damage was done. Edward James Porter from Illinois threatened to kill Bart Edmonstons Jr. and his father. He said he knew where they lived. He said he would cut one of them up and put them in a suitcase. He's been indicted by a federal grand jury. These are the type of wild animals, Mr. Crump and Al, that you're inciting. Well, it's not. The fuck it isn't. Joseph Alfredo Vasquez Dermans from California sent a threatening message to Jackson County Chancellery Judge Ashley Cole, Warren Hudson's stepmother. He told her a package was coming that would blow you away. He's been charged with making threats against a public official. Michelle Francine Edwards from Ohio called it a bomb threat to the sheriff's office. None of these people knew Nolan. None of them had any connection to the case or Horn Island. They hear the narrative and they acted on it. The Friends' families reported thousands of death threats. According to the Friends' attorneys, one message included a photo of a relative alongside a threat. Friends who refused service in their own town, some could not go back to school, home addresses, photos of houses, and family workplace information posted online. These were kids who grew up together in Ocean Springs, who played football together, who went to the island together, like they did every summer because they loved each other. Sharpton and Crump did not describe that as a friendship. They described a crime, and the people who paid for it were the friends who cooperated from the first night, who called the mother, who called the Coast Guard, who went back to search the next morning. The people who did everything right are the ones living with the consequences of what two men from out of town got wrong. Mississippi's history is very real. The distrust is very earned. Asking hard questions about race in that part of the country isn't just fair, it is required. But there is a line between asking hard questions and manufacturing a case against people who have never been charged, never been identified as suspects, and every available account loved the kid who didn't come home. Two wrongs don't make a right, dipshits. Sharpton and Crump will move on to the next case, the next press conference, the next reward fund, the next place they can get the most clicks. They always do. Warren Hudson stays in Ocean Springs, in a town that watched two strangers turn his phone and his phone call into a missing friend's mother into evidence of a crime that has never been confirmed to have happened. We're not doing this. That's the latest. What is the latest in this case? That's what I was wondering earlier when I was putting this together. Like, what is going on here? Well, the phone still hasn't been turned over as of yet. We did a story on that the other week. And Crump and Al Sharpton are out there grandstanding. There needs to be a federal investigation. How about we just get to the first part of the investigation? How about we just get to the autopsy? And then we'll determine if we need to go there. That sounds lovely. And look, could there have been foul play involving some people with him in that island? Yes, there's a very real possibility. There is. There was a lot of people on that island beside the three people that he's in that picture with, the three white friends. There was a lot of people there. And if those people left and he was still on the island, there's a possibility he did get mixed up with people who may not have liked him because of his color. Is that a possibility? Yes, very real. Is that what happened? Still no evidence pointing towards it. Still no one to actually identify. And you can't just mad lib the names and go, well, there's some white people here. Maybe it's them. Really? Because these people seem to have really loved him. That's the history. That's the documented history of this friend group. If you want to look at other things on the island, look at other things on the island. But destroying the lives of the innocent people who loved him, the people who who didn't have their lives torn apart and defined as being racist when they're not, now being called that and being thrown into the heap of history's rejected racist narratives and assholes who saw things from that sort of light, piling them all over there because they were friends and their black friend unfortunately died that day and we don't know what happened, saying that they are the cause of it because of the color of their skin. That seems rather racist to me. In the other direction. I mean, I'm just reverse the roles here for a moment. I mean, you have to look at the people as individuals and make judgments based on their character, not the color of their skin. Seems like a lesson two grandstanding assholes seem to have forgotten. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversation there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.